In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hey, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We were at St. Helen's Church last night in Glendale, Arizona, and I want to tell you some of the things that happened. There was an older Lebanese woman who had a big black back brace on, and she took the back brace off, and she was healed, and she also had two hearing aids. She was not completely healed in the ears, but she could hear me even without the hearing aids, but she was not completely healed. It was just a minor healing, but anything is better than nothing, I'll tell you that much. And there was a man who had a backache on two sides and could barely walk. We had him walking and running and leaping. He was doing running at least, and then walking very fast. There was a woman who had broken her neck, and she was partially healed at the Days of Glory. And last night she was completely healed. There was a lump on her neck, and it was completely disappeared. The lump just completely disappeared. There was a woman who had vertigo, and I had her stand on one foot, and she couldn't do it. But by the time we prayed, in about 30 seconds, she was able to stand on one foot, and all the dizziness left. People were healed of neck problems, knee problems. They were people that were healed of all different types of things. And it was all because of Jesus, all because of the cross, all because of the blood. One of the things we did that was different was people would say to me, would you pray for my cousin who has cancer? I said, call her on the telephone. So we used the telephone as a medium to pray for the people, right on the spot. And that was really good. That was something different that we did. And we prayed over the telephone for a woman with cancer, for a woman with MS. And all this was done because of Jesus Christ and the power of the cross. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who believe and who are being saved, it is the power of God. We must know that the cross is the power of God, that all healing and all forgiveness comes from the power of the cross. As a matter of fact, we were at St. Helen's Church, and St. Helena, Constantine's mother, found the true cross of Jesus in the Holy Land. So this all comes together, that the cross is the power of God, that Jesus Christ crucified is the power of God. Well, some people would say, Father Tom, why do you sometimes wear a crucifix? Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. Jesus has been raised from the dead. That's really true. But you know what the Bible teaches about the cross? Jesus Christ crucified from the foundation of the earth. Jesus Christ crucified in time. And then when we go to the book of Revelation, the scripture said, I saw one like a lamb that was slain. I don't understand this, but how can there be the risen Lord and the lamb that was slain at the same time? I cannot understand it, but I know it's true. Jesus and his cross is the central message of Christianity. And he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever. I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach, the folly of the cross, to save those who believe. Salvation comes from the cross. Salvation comes from the blood of Jesus. Salvation comes from Jesus, who emptied himself and became a slave on the cross. Salvation comes to us only through the cross. Healing comes to us only through the cross and through the blood. It's all about the cross. It's all about the blood. Saint Francis was in love with the crucified Jesus. He would be walking through the woods, and he would see two sticks, and they just happened to form a cross, and he would stop. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, he would say, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Jesus Christ crucified. Hallelujah. Would that more people preach Jesus Christ crucified. Would that more priests preach Jesus Christ crucified. Would that more ministers preach Jesus Christ crucified. Yes, a stumbling block to the Jews. Why is the crucifixion a stumbling block to the Jews? Because the scripture says, cursed is the man who dies on a cross. Cursed is the man who dies on a tree. Jesus became a curse so that we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, those who are being saved, both Jews and Greeks, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Why don't we hear every week about the power of the cross? Why don't we hear about Jesus Christ and him crucified? We want to have something new. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. Christ crucified and raised from the dead is our message. Christ crucified and raised from the dead is all that we have, and that is enough for salvation. That is enough to keep us. That is enough for resurrection. That is enough for healing. That is enough. Jesus Christ crucified from the foundation of the world. For the foolishness of God, that's the cross, is wiser than men, and the weakness of God, that is the cross, is stronger than men. So what is Paul trying to tell you? What is Paul trying to tell me? That we preach Christ, and we preach him crucified, and that this crucified Lord is the wisdom of God and the power of God. And you know, the Corinthians were into wisdom, but Paul says, the wisdom of the world is nothing. The wisdom of the cross supersedes the wisdom of the world. The people in Corinth were into not only wisdom, but into strength. You know, who was the strongest one? And Paul preaches the weakness of the cross is stronger than every strong being. The cross is the central message of Christianity. You know, what is the faith that we profess? Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This is the central message, that Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, and 3 days later, he was raised from the dead by the power of God. For consider your call, he's talking to the Corinthians, he's talking to us, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, that's for sure. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. So, you know, if you're feeling today that you're not very strong, if you're feeling today that you're very weak, I'm telling you, offer yourself to Jesus Christ, and he chose the weak to confound the wise. You know, one of the people that I was talking to, Andrew, a couple of weeks ago, she ministers to young people, and she said, you know, they come and they go, they come and they go. And I said, I understand that. I said, you know the ones that stay? She says, who? I says, the weak ones, because they have no one but Jesus Christ. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Why did I stay with Jesus? First of all, because it was grace. But second of all, I had no place to go. The strong ones leave. They think that they could find something else. You know, they go into yoga, they go into this, they go into that, and they go into the demonic. But I'm telling you that the weak ones are the ones that stay. If you feel weak, if you feel unable today, you offer yourself to Jesus. We offer ourselves to you, Jesus, today. You can take our weakness, and you can use us in strength, because through the weakness of the cross, you have confounded the world. You have confounded the world through the weakness of the cross, because, God, you chose what is weak in the world to shame what is strong in the world. God chose what is lowly and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no man would be able to boast in the presence of God. How can I boast in the presence of God when I know my weakness? How can I boast in the presence of God when I realize that I have nothing but Jesus? How can I boast and say, you know, it's all about me? Like last night, this is all about Jesus. That's why he healed the lady from Lebanon with a back brace. That's why, that he healed the man on two sides of his of his back, and he was running or walking fast. It's all about Jesus. When the woman broke her neck, that lump was dissolved last night. It's all about Jesus, you know? How can I both say I did those things? I did nothing. The only thing I did was to proclaim and to declare healing last night. And we saw the healing by the grace of the living God. And it all came through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the weakness of God, through the foolishness of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus. And no one can boast in his presence. No one can boast in his presence. So Christ Jesus, God made our wisdom, yes, our righteousness, yes, our sanctification and our redemption. Therefore, as it says, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. We just want to boast in you, Jesus. We want to boast in you that you are the Lord. We want to boast that you carry within your being all power in heaven and on earth. We want to boast about the cross. We want to say, thank you, Father, for sending your Son. We want to boast and say, Father, we give you praise that you sent your Son. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Now, St. Paul continues in chapter 2, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words of wisdom. You know, he did that in Athens. He proclaimed God in lofty words of wisdom in Athens, in the Acts of the Apostles at the Areopagus. But you know what happened? There were only three converts. When I came to you, he learned, I did not come preaching in lofty words of wisdom, for I decided, he made up his mind, to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He realized that in Athens that he had failed, because he proclaimed to all the great philosophers the resurrection of Christ. And they said, oh, we'll come back again another day. Don't believe it. If you don't get them at the first time, you're not going to usually get them. You know, Paul wanted to be avant-garde because he wanted to preach the resurrection, and he left out the preaching of the cross. There were three converts, but he decided when he came to Corinth, and that was the next thing he did after Athens, to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, you know, if Paul decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, then the church must decide to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, so Paul declares his weakness, and in much fear and trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So the preaching of the cross brings about the demonstration of power. That is the healing power of God. Listen to that again. My message was not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And you know, that's what happens when you proclaim Jesus. There is a demonstration of power in the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a demonstration. We saw it last night. We saw the woman healed with vertigo. We saw knees healed. We saw necks healed. We saw people that we prayed with over the phone. We prayed that God touched them deeply. And it's all about the cross, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. And what is the power of God? The cross. Yet among the mature, we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. You see, the Corinthians were into wisdom. They wanted the next thing down the road. You know, what can we boast about? St. Paul says we can boast about nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. But we impart a secret, hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glorification. None of the rulers of the age understood this, for if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no heart has conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. This is so real. This is so real. This is about you and me. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, nor has the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. Let me tell you, if you love him, if you love him and know that he loves you first, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. And what has he prepared? He has prepared heaven. He has prepared heaven. But you know, when we praise God and glorify the name of Jesus, you know, heaven seeps into the congregation. And what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. And God has revealed to us this, how? Through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the baptism of the Spirit is so important. You need to pray that God baptize you in the Holy Spirit, because he opens up doors, this wonderful Holy Spirit. He opens up doors, this wonderful Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Spirit is more than speaking in tongues. The baptism of the Spirit gives us power to minister. If you are a minister, if you are a priest, if you are someone who ministers as a layperson, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You ask Jesus to give you that wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, John baptized with water, but in several days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit and power. And that happened at Pentecost. Suddenly there was a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole place, and they were filled with the power of God, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. We need the Holy Spirit. We need that wonderful baptism. We need that God would imbue us with the power of the Spirit. That's what we need. And you know, that's what the church needs. That's what I need. And you know what? We need that that Spirit would fill us again. We need that that Spirit would come upon us again. We see that it came. He came in the second chapter at Pentecost. Then we see him coming again in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when John and Peter were rebuked and were put in jail, and they prayed when they came back that God would move by his powerful Holy Spirit, and that there would be great unction and great boldness, and the place where they were at shook with the power of God. I tell you, we need that. We cannot deal with the devil, or we cannot deal with our sinful nature unless we have that unction of the Holy Spirit, and how much we need that. And Jesus said, you fathers know how to give good gifts to your children. If they ask you for a piece of bread, you don't give them a stone. If they ask you for a fish, you don't give them a scorpion. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So, Father, we remember this beautiful word in Luke. And we don't want bread. We want the Word of God. We don't want fish. We want the Word of God. And we want the Holy Spirit. We want that you would fill us today with the Holy Spirit. We ask today that you would baptize us with the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God would come from the throne of God, that the Spirit of God would rest upon us, that we would have the very power that the apostles had. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And from your celestial throne, shed a ray of light divine. Come, Father of the poor. Come, source of all our store. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. We need you. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches everything, even the depths of God. For what man knows a man's thoughts except the Spirit of the man which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Holy Spirit of God be in him. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, thank you, Lord, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed upon us by God. With the Spirit comes these gifts, these charismatic gifts. And I'm going to tell you, we need these gifts. You know, when we're ministering, you know, at a healing service, we need that God would break out in healing. We need that God would break out in healing, in physical healing, in spiritual healing, in mental healing. We need that. We cannot go on this our wisdom. You see, the Corinthians thought that they were very bright people. They thought that they had everything. But St. Paul says, You have nothing apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. You have nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit that makes present the very presence of God. You need the Holy Spirit because I came not in wisdom, but I came in the power of God and demonstration of God, that in Corinth, Paul, through the power of the Spirit, was able to heal people, was able to do great things, and he did it in the name of the crucified Jesus. So, Lord, through the crucifixion and death and resurrection of the Lord, we ask you, Father, that you would pour out upon us this day the great gift of the Holy Spirit, the great gift of God. We are in need of the Holy Spirit. And you say that the Spirit of God would be given to us more when we ask. Well, Father, I ask you for the Holy Spirit for me. I ask you for the Holy Spirit for everyone listening to me. I ask that the Spirit of God would come in power. I ask that you would baptize us sovereignly in the Holy Spirit. I was baptized sovereignly in the Holy Spirit, people. No one laid hands upon me. I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and God baptized me in the Holy Spirit in 1968. No one laid hands upon me. I just was so hungry for God. I was so in need of God. I was so weak. I could only say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. I come to do thy will. And I'm telling you that those who are weak stay. Those that are broken stay because we need Jesus. Every healing service, they're the ones that are hungriest. Most people leave, you know, before it's over, but the hungry ones stay. We had about 20 hungry ones that stayed last night. You know, 20 hungry ones that didn't want to leave. 20 hungry ones that knew that the power of God was present. They wouldn't leave. And most of all, you know, those are the weak people. If I had interviewed them, they would say, you know, I don't have very much strength in myself. Well, I can say the same thing. We who are hungry receive from God what God has for us. We who are hungry, I ask for the gift of hunger for the whole, for all the people who listen to me and for myself. I ask for the gift of hunger in the name of Jesus, that we would know the very power of God, that we would know that Jesus is our life, our redemption, our sanctification, our wholeness, our healing, our justification, that Jesus would just flood us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. I ask that today, Father, in the name of Jesus. I come to you today during these last 3 minutes asking that you would support in season, out of season. We really have been very low in finances, and if you listen to us and you think that God is working through this ministry, you just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with in season and out of season? I'm not telling you, you have to send this or you have to send that. I ask you that if you're blessed, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to send to in season and out of season so that we can continue in Boston, so that we can continue in St. Louis, so that we continue in Albuquerque, so we can continue in Washington, D.C. What do you want me to send to increase, to so that this ministry would prosper? And, you know, we depend upon God as our source. You people are just the people that he uses to help us to continue. We've been doing this for 29 years. And, again, I'm very grateful for all those who have ever given to us. For all those who pray for me, please pray for me. I need your prayers. I need your prayers because without your prayers, I cannot do this saving work of God, this wonderful work of God of proclaiming the cross of Jesus Christ. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I'll say it again. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And I'm just going to read from 1 Corinthians 2 again. When I came to you, Corinthians, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words of wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Let me tell you, our faith rests on Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. But in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith is in Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ you are forgiven. In Jesus Christ you are healed. In Jesus Christ you are what he called you to be. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.